see how it stands. Wonder if it's still in safe hands. Who's flying?
Tim, and every Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. I will be playing best punk, hardcore, metal, ska, and reggae music for you from all over the world. We all fall down on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver, British Columbia.
We'll be right back.
Hello, hello, hello. You listen to We All Fall Down on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, planet Earth. My name is Tim. Hello, hello, hello. Glad to see you, everybody. I think it's starting kind of... I think it's pretty good. The World Cup starts tomorrow, which I'm super excited, and this is very exciting moment in probably the best moment in this 4 years, I guess, or something like that. Summer is kind of almost here. We already have a couple days, and we also have not very good days. Lots of new releases by amazing, great, terrific, fantastic, and all other great bands. And there are lots of good shows happening this summer. Last Friday, I've been to one of those shows, and it was a show, Strike Anywhere, Bane, Touche Amour, and Bane. They were playing at the Rickshaw. And before the show, I met up with Thomas from Strike Anywhere, and I did an interview with him. Thomas is just an amazing person, and it was my pleasure and my honor to talk to him. So today I will be playing clips of this interview, and the full version tomorrow could be found on weallfalldown.chr.tumblr.com. I opened the set that Against Me. They covered a song, a brilliant song, Because You're Young by Cocksparrer. Against Me released a brand new album called White Crosses this Tuesday. And recently, I think it was June 1st, they stopped in at a Data Loss session at Rock Island. So they played four songs. Two songs of their brand new album, White Crosses. So the songs were Ache With Me and the song that the same title, White Crosses. And they did two covers. One of them we just heard, it was Because You're Young by Cocksparrer, as I said. And the other one was Moon Over Marion by Dead Kennedys. And so it was a tough choice for me which one to play. Dead Kennedys, like, great band, and they did a good job covering the song. But this song by Cocksparrer, you know, I read on one of the forums, like, someone, one of my friends in the Russian website, someone wrote that this song is like song by Cocksparrer, but this song fits so well in Against Me style. They did such a good job covering, so I decided to play this song. I love the song, and they did really, really good job. They adopted and just, yeah, they did a good job covering the song. Okay, that's enough talking. I'll better play some good music. Coming up next, I'll have new songs from bands Stay Home, Attention, Off of Their Heads, and especially legendary Riverdales. They have a new, brand new album, and yeah, I'll play a song of it. So, yeah, you're listening to We All Fall Down on 101.9 CITR, and Stay Home from Canada, playing next song.
What kind of beer do you like?
Heineken.
Heineken? Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
Three.
and make me a better one. Than we were before. And I don't think that I'll ever get tired of this war. We're all grown up, yet still fucked up. Let's stick to what we know.
We're all grown up, yet still fucked up. Let's stick to what we know.
These are the families play these chords.
We're all grown up.
Yeah. Straight out of sold-out shows in New York and L.A., Vancouver's own 22nd Century returned to town at the Cellar on June 17th, featuring rock and roll veterans Dwayne Chaos, Tim Plummer, and Zippy Pinhead. This will be guaranteed to be a fist-pounding great time. Be sure to stay tuned to CITR for free ticket giveaway. 22nd Century, June 17th at the Cellar, 1006 Granville Street. Doors open at 5.
Hello, you're listening to We All Fall Down on 101.9 CITR. We just heard a song by Riverdale's called... Whoa. Hello? Sorry, I just was too loud, I think, for a moment. Okay, it doesn't matter. We just heard a song by Riverdale's called Diabolic from their upcoming album called Tarantula. The album is expected to be released in July, and the record label to be announced. I heard something they plan to release it on Recess Records, but now it says to be announced. I don't really know. Riverdale's, they are the band from Chicago, and Ben Weasel and Danny Wapit are in a band, so that's kind of all-star, very good people in a band kind of thing. This week, Danny Wapit announced that the Methadones are calling it a quit in the end of this year, and they're playing last two shows and releasing a B-sides and outtakes compilation package with five new songs. So that's really sad news, because the Methadones, they were really important and a band who released really good music for the last 10 years, and it's sad that they live in the stage and live in the scene. But if we can see it from the other perspective, maybe there will be more time for Danny Wapit's other projects like Riverdale's, Noise by Numbers, The Mopes, Sludge Wharf, and maybe even for Christian Weasel, who knows. And before that, we heard a song from Off Their Heads. That they're from Minneapolis, and this Tuesday they just released a brand new album called In Desolation. And it was their debut on Epitaph Records, and I love the album. The album is really, really good. Before that, they heard a song by a Canadian band called Attention. They're from Toronto, and that's their second release. The name of the album, it's like EP, called 4 or 5 Ways to Play Those Chords, and this EP can be downloaded for free from the website if you make it. And I opened this block of songs with another Canadian band called Stay Home, their new band, that's their new release, that's the EP, 4-song EP called Cake, and the album also could be downloaded for free from the website juicebox.com. And also you can make a donation, and all donations made for the album will directly go to Women's Community House in their hometown of London, Ontario. Okay, so I said before, I interviewed Thomas from Strike Anywhere last Friday, and today I will be playing a clip of the interview. The interview turned out to be almost 30 minutes, so I edited, I cut it in 4 parts, and I will be playing them. But because, you know, it's kind of boring to listen to 20 minutes of talking, so I'll play 4 parts, and in between of them I will be playing some songs to make it kind of, you know, not repetitive, not talking heads, blah blah blah. The full version of the interview will appear tomorrow on the website weallfalldowncitr.tumblr.com. And okay, yeah, so let's start the first part of the interview with Thomas, the singer of Strike Anywhere. And yeah, here we go. Here it is. You're on tour now supporting the brand new album Iron Front, which came out October of 2009. I think that's one of the strongest releases of the last year. And production-wise, I think that's probably the most solid Strike Anywhere album. Would you agree, and are you 100% satisfied with the final result of the album?
We all are very happy with the record. Thank you for your compliment. It's definitely something that we feel is maybe our strongest, and I think bands feel like this about their most recent record in general, but I think for Iron Front we got something right about it, which is almost hard to explain in words, but something we've been working on for a while. I do kind of wish that the two songs that were the B-side of the EP we love those songs too, you know, and it was a really heartbreaking choice to figure out how what to include on the record and then what to make the B-side, you know, so, but hopefully we'll get to play those songs live. We were actually just playing Orphan Age in the backstage room acoustically recently just to enjoy it. So yeah, thank you very much. We think it definitely feels like we wanted the songs to feel in our heads, you know.
You're probably tired of this question about moving from Fat to Bridge 9, and I've read your recent interview, and you pretty much summed it all, saying that you just felt like moving to Bridge 9. My question is, being on Bridge Ride right now, do you feel like it is a home for your band right now, and are you planning to stick with them for a while?
Yes. I think so. That's how we. Yeah, they've. It's definitely a good place, and I mean everything changes, and labels tend to change a lot now, just because of economy and things like this. But Bridge 9 is very solid. They don't overreach themselves, and they tend to invest sensibly in bands and artists that they care about. And it definitely seems to be a label that's more for the love than it is for any kind of epic growth plan. So, and that suits us really well, and they believe in us, and it's wonderful. And I mean, and again, like, we had a great time on Fat Records, and it was really, they were awesome then too, but the label changed so much. They like lost all their offices in Europe and Canada. Many other people were laid off. All the people that we kind of knew working at the label either left the label or were fired. There's all these things, and this happens in record labels a lot, especially in the independent world. But it's only recently, since we've been off Fat, that, you know, we look back and we see that, like, the caricature that Fat Mike is right now involved in is something that isn't our taste, and we're not quite sure where he's going with it. But in general, really, on the balance, I think Mike is pretty amazing and a genius. So, you know, we'll have to see. Maybe we'll be proven wrong and Cookie the Clown will be awesome. But right now, we just think it's kind of sloppy, kind of dangerous, and he's capable of better, and we know he can do better. So I mean, it's kind of like that. It's like the tough love, like when you see your friends kind of like go through a rough patch, and they're kind of like fucking up in public, and you're like, man, I believe in you, I think that you're awesome, but right now you're disappointing yourself and us. That's how I feel, you know. It's like, it's definitely like, I respect him and think he's an amazing person, and he's just, it's probably because of the high bar he's raised for all the creative cool stuff that Fat Mike has done, that this particular moment is something that we don't understand, and we think he's capable of a lot better. So that's all. I mean, you know, we would want him to say the same to us if he ever wanted to. You know, it's more of a, like, come conversing. We're not trying to, like, talk shit or start some kind of beef. We think that's retarded. Like, it's not like that. I mean, I think that, like, the independent punk media community sometimes needs to just have something to chew on and to start something. But, man, that's not really what this is about for us. I mean, we have nothing but love for them. And we have more of, like, a worried feeling about that. Like, it's not like a critical, you know, it's not like anything. It's certainly not a hate, because we do love the man, but we think he's crazy, and we do think maybe he knows what he's doing maybe more than we know what he's doing, and that's okay. We'll just have to see it through and see how he's doing.
Okay, yeah, so that was the first part of the interview, and Thomas was talking about the song which they didn't include on the record, called Orphan Age, and the song came out on the Iron Front EP, which came out a couple of weeks before the release of the actual album. So this is the B-side from this album, and yeah, I would like to play it for you.
Are we all- I will stand.
CITR has more friends than ever before. We've partnered with tons of local businesses to bring you great discounts in the communities where you live, work, and play. Maybe Main Street is your main drag. Present your Friends of CITR card at Red Cat Records, Lucky's Comics, Devil May Wear, Thriller, Blim, Hotbox, The Kiss Store, Slickety Jim's Chat and Chew, The Wallflower Modern Diner, RX Comics, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, The Whip Gallery Restaurant, Vinyl Records, Regional Assembly of Text, and Twig and Hottie to receive fabulous discounts. So become a CITR member, get a free friends card, and feel the love.
Okay, you listen to We All Fall Down on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. Let's continue the interview with Thomas from Strike Anywhere. That's the second part of the interview. Here we go.
Because you toured all over the world and you played shows in North America, and for kids who saw every band, everything, and also you played shows like in smaller countries, like in the third world country, and sometimes like Strike Anywhere show, that's the biggest thing what happens to punk kids in probably in the whole year. So like, because not that many bands are going to play in Russia, Belarus, I don't know, Bulgaria, all those countries. For you, playing a show in North America for kids who saw lots of different bands and playing for those kids, is it different kind of emotions, different show for you? What?
That's a really, really good question. It's almost a city-to-city thing, because we'll play a place that seems like they've had too many shows. Like, everyone could be very much taking it for granted, you know? And then you're surprised, because the people do have a lot of passion, and they are dancing like maniacs, and they are singing along, and you're like, Seattle? Really? You guys still feel it like this? You know? And they're like, yeah, we do. And you're like, great. Maybe we're lucky enough to have people that are, you know, that can summon this innocence and this excitement and this hunger for music, and for the, you know, the ideas and the community of punk rock shows, like that feeling. And we've had a lot of good experiences all over, even in what you would normally consider to be first world metropolises that would be spoiled for entertainment.
Yeah.
But we definitely see the danger in that. We definitely know that when we play like Timmins on this tour, a tiny town in Western Ontario, that it's going to be crazy, because those kids don't get shows at all. And it's like, you know, kind of poor, and there's a lot of Aboriginal Canadians and you know, other folks there just kind of like that seem like wiped out and working class and trying to figure out where the next meal comes from. So when they save their money and come to your show, you respect the hell out of that, and you love them and every minute of, and then, you know, you want that to feel like everywhere you go. But I mean, the fact on the ground is that like the kids in Moscow and Minsk and Riga, Latvia, that maybe don't get shows very often, if not at all, like, are really grateful and excited. It's not every weekend that this happens, you know? But again, like I said, we've had surprising experiences at the every weekend cities where the, you know, like Tokyo, for some reason, has been so explosive and amazing for us, and just filled with like crazy kids doing backflips and hugging each other and hugging us and jumping on us and like that. You know, Tokyo gets a lot of music, and you'd think that would be a city on some level overrun with a superficial pop culture. But their punk and hardcore scene is so soulful. That like it's like amazing. So everywhere, like, we've just been really lucky to run into this like worldwide family of people that don't take it for granted.
Talking about the live shows, what personally for you makes it the successful Strike Anywhere show, and can you pick a couple shows and say, okay, that was like one of the best Strike Anywhere shows? What makes it the best show with Strike Anywhere?
I think there needs to be a certain level of playful intelligence in the crowd, as well as people moving. Like, we it's weird to play to a crowd of people that are, like, standing still as statues. Even though we know sometimes that's how people relate to music, and they're tired or whatever, you know, like, there's just certain things. But we obviously love it when people dance and people move, but we also can't, we can tell the difference even from, you know, on the stage if there's, like, a violent element or a macho element or just, like, people that think they're doing it because they have to make the scene and look a certain way instead of actually feeling it. Like, so we've had some shows where there's a lot of people there, a lot of people dancing, but we could tell that, like, the feeling was a little strange, you know, like it wasn't like as direct as we wanted it to be.
Passion?
So, passion. Yeah. And maybe, like, authenticity. You want people to be able to be themselves and not be, I have to act like this kind of hardcore kid, or I have to be, exactly. So we can feel that. Even Eric, all the way behind the drums, can tell. And, you know, we'll know halfway through a show whether it's, like, the people here are trying to have a real experience, or they're trying to have this projected experience. I know that sounds weird, like, why should we care that much? But it actually affects us emotionally. Like, whether the people are going through the motions trying to pretend, mm-hmm. or whether they're really doing it and they don't give a fuck what anyone else thinks. That's the best feeling, when you get people out of their shells and they just feel, they're, you know, they're in that moment, they're really alive. Like, that's the way music has always made us feel. So if we have a chance to make people feel like that, it's we couldn't ask for anything more in this world.
I have one question about Inquisition, your first band. For almost 15 years, the band is not really active. What Inquisition means for you right now, and what kind of emotions you had when you played the reunion show a couple years ago?
Oh, the reunion show was awesome. Only because, like, the band itself broke up in 1996 without... We didn't know it was the last show, you know? It was, like, a weird thing. So we didn't even have a last show. We just had this show we played with... it was where AFI opened
AFI,
up for us.
Yeah.
And
some other...
The P-Tanks?
Yes.
And all, you know, and it was like, okay, and then we broke up, like, a week later. And, you know, so the shows that we played in 2007 were kind of like our actual goodbye shows, where everybody was feeling good, and it was like, oh, we're going to do our best to give it to everybody here. It was like we had our last shows 11 years later, like, in my mind. Like, so that was what it meant to us. Like, it's not meant to be an ongoing reunion. It was just, it was like our last show. It just took 11 years to do that last show, you know? And I loved it, and I was so happy to play the songs again. I was so happy that they could be played in our hometown, mm-hmm. with the rich context of the years in between. And it was like it was almost like a class reunion of our punk rock world, you know, and it was just a lot of fun. Like, you know, me and my peers, who now are in our late 30s, all going nuts, like, one last stage dive, you know, like, all that stuff, you know, like, so that was really sentimental and fun.
So yeah, Thomas was just talking about the last show with his first band, Inquisition, and they broke up, as he said, in 1996, and in 2007 they played the reunion show, as he said, the last show. And I would like to play a song of this reunion show, and yeah, the song called A Warning. Yeah, and here it is, Inquisition on CITR.
Hell yeah, thank you all so much. This is the second and final night of our reunion shows. And we are honored to share these songs with you. It's like having these children that have grown up the past 11 years. This is for A Veil. And everybody in the basement scene that's taking a stand against racism the past 20 years, keeping it Nazi-free and aware. I can't stop.
When you experiment with cut-ups over a period of time, you find that some of the cut-ups seem to refer to future events. Well, we went on to exploit the potentials of the tape recorder.
Now, back to modern times.
Tape recorders.
Cut up, slow down, speed up, run backwards, inch the tape. That means work it back and forth across the tape head.
Hey, girl. Move a little closer.
Play several tracks at once. Cut back and forth between two recorders.
Copyright infringement. Piracy.
Oh, no, I pressed the wrong button again.
So cut-ups put you in touch with what you know and do not know that you know.
Exquisite Corpse, Thursday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. on the mighty CITR Radio 101.9, Vancouver.
This is not all rock and roll, dude.
You listen to We All Fall Down on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. So we just heard the song by Exquisition, the first band which Thomas was singing in, and it was a song called Warning of their one of the two reunion shows which happened May 2007. So I have another part of the interview, and yeah, here we go. Thomas from Strike Anywhere.
What is your connection with Canadian punk scene? What bands you like? Yeah, mostly like musically. What Canadian bands you like?
Well, we've had the pleasure of being friends with and touring with Propagandhi a lot. And we're going to see them in Winnipeg when we come through, and it's going to be a savage, wonderful experience, as always. And Propagandhi would be everyone's touchstone. As far as that goes, but also I love the Canadian Subhumans, who are from Vancouver, SNFU, who we are touring with in New Zealand in 4 weeks. Strike Anywhere and SNFU in New Zealand are on tour together. We just found this out. It's crazy. And I mean, there's so much, and there's so many things that in American punk, you get a record, you love it, and you don't even really think about Canada when you're a teenager and living in Virginia in the South. You know, you're like, oh, that band's Canadian. Oh, that's weird. Whoa, there's bands in Canada? Wait, where's Canada? You know, you have this story because Americans are not really taught to look outside of the country very often. There's a lot of isolation and weird paranoia and defensiveness, and our education system is, I would say, not as thorough as many other countries. And so it was interesting, you know, in some ways punk rock records from other countries were the first things that got me interested in the outside world, I think, for a lot of people. I Spy, which was Todd's old band, this band called One Blood, I think they're from Toronto or maybe Montreal, and they had this incredible record, an incredible song about, I think it was the Mohawk Aboriginal Canadian Rebellion in 1990-91, where there was like a shootout between white developers who wanted to build a golf course on sacred land and these Aboriginal Canadian peoples. And this song was so passionate and amazing that it's called Indian Summer. It's by One Blood. And that in itself got me so excited and pushed me to be in bands and to just try and tell our own stories about our own communities and what's been happening and all that, and like, you know, how there's a company trying to privatize a water plant that's going to go through sacred Pamunkey lands, who are a Native American tribe in Virginia. Like, so you have all these, unfortunately, you have all these very resonant similar stories that, you know, these punk bands speak about these things in faraway countries, but the same thing is happening in your house, you know, where you live. And so it pushes you to have the courage to do the research and carry this folk process onwards, you know, because in some ways punk rock music is a lot like the old folk music tradition, which Canada is rich in, protest, folk music. And, you know, there's just something, there's like a gentle, like radical tradition in Canada, which is brilliant. And our bass player Garth is a Canadian citizen. He's been in Virginia most of his life, but he has a Canadian passport. His family, he's born in Winnipeg. And yeah, we just have great friendships and relationships with Canadian bands. We love the Flatliners a lot, and you know, hopefully can't wait to see those guys. Grade, I mean, the list just keeps on rolling. Like, we've even played shows with the Real McKenzies and enjoyed their company and on several occasions, and yeah, it's awesome. So I mean, we and there's also so much more to discover about Canada too, and we don't want to lose the connection. I mean, Canadian and American bands need to get together and talk about things, because, you know, if we don't talk about the problems facing both of our countries and don't celebrate the little victories that occur, then we will continue to be like the rest of our peers in the mainstream world, isolated from each other and taught to be, you know, to be separate and to have these differences, and they're all crap, you know, like as far as like the North American community, the Mexico, US and Canada all need their people, ordinary people, to communicate and stand together and stand against these corporations and these governments trying to fuck our lives over, not just our lives but future generations.
Good.
Can we say fuck on the radio here?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
This is Canada.
This is college radio.
I don't even think you can do that in American college radio. Jesus will get upset.
Really? No, no one gets upset.
So yeah, we heard Thomas from Strike Anyway. He was talking about this song called Indian Summer by the band called One Blood. When he was telling, he really got me interested about this because he was so passionate, and I was really impressed hearing about this song. So I really wanted to find this song because I never even heard of the band called One Blood, and they're especially a Canadian band, so I was quite curious. So for 3 days after the interview, I was looking all over the internet trying to find any link, any connection to the band, but nothing. I think it was tough because the album was released in 1991, and at that time there was no MySpace, no iTunes, no torrents, no illegal downloads. So, like, you know, when we have all the stuff, like sometimes we keep like the files of the song. It's a way to keep material for like for next years. So I couldn't find any, and like after 3 days, I was really disappointed with myself because I have the strong belief that you can find anything on the internet, and my ideals started falling apart after 3 days of unsuccessful research. So after finally I found some kind of a YouTube video that the band One Blood performing different song live, not this song Thomas was talking about, a different song. I sent a message to the guy who uploaded the video on YouTube, but I didn't get any reply. And then I found on his page another video by One Blood, and I saw someone commented on this video. So I was obviously I messaged this person, and the person was really, really nice, and he replied me back, and he also sent me a link to the blog which had some kind of review / information about the album. So at least now I had the name of the album, because before that I didn't even have the name of the album. I knew just from Thomas the name of the band and name of the song. And also I knew that the record label was Germ Blenstein Records. So see, I can't even pronounce it. So I didn't even know where to look for this song. So I messaged the guy who runs the blog, and it turned out that Steve, who is the person, he was the singer in One Blood, and he was excited and he was surprised that someone was actually looking for the song, and he sent me an album. He sent me a copy of the album. It's somewhere in the mail right now. Steve also hosts a radio show called Equalizing X Distort on Toronto station CIUT 89.5 FM, and he's doing it since May 1999, so it's like a serious like show which has history. And I listened to the show. The guys are doing a really good job. They're playing lots of hardcore and really obscure but at the same time really cool bands. I listened to two episodes, the last one and the one before, and I really discovered lots of really good bands, and they doing a great, great job. At the same time, when I was looking for this song, I found a website where collectors trade their music, and I found two guys who had this album, this song, in their collection. So I messaged both of them, and one of the guys had just the vinyl copy of this album, so it was impossible for me to get the song before today's show. And the other guy, his name is Luca, and he was so helpful, so supportive, and he sent me an MP3 file. He said that he has the MP3 file of this album, so he next day I got an email from him to this song, and I was so happy because for me it was like 3 days of crazy research all over the internet, and then I found in the same day, same evening, I found the member of the band and the guy who had the song. So today I'm really excited to play this song. Thomas was so passionate and was so excited about, and I'm happy that I found and I can play it for you. Also, I really would like to thank all those people who helped me with the research, who helped, who actually gave me the links, and they were all supportive and they helped me. Actually, other people found the song for me. I would like to thank, and it was really cool, that the people who love the music, who are passionate about the music, they all help each other. That was like the actually, you know, some kind of music lovers community, and that was really impressed me. Thank you all of you guys, and thanks for the song. And yeah, I'm excited to play the song by the band One Blood. The name of the song is Indian Summer, and I'm really happy that I can play it for you.
What they truly think of First Nations people, how little they know. A few hundred years ago, we were less than human. It was sometimes great sport for newly arrived European men to hunt and shoot Indians. I ask myself, how much has changed? How much has misunderstanding been replaced with respect? In July of last year, I got my answer.
This was not an isolated incident. Events like this just don't take place overnight. What you saw last summer was the outcome of appalling circumstances. It came to a head, 500 years of white oppression, a Gulf Force expansion, on a sacred burial grounds, come on by the early invasion, on the Mohawk Nation, the peaceful protest, were ignored by the media, this provided the cue, that force was needed, tired of not being taken serious, this became the year for the Indian summer, rockets went up from sea to sea, demonstrating native solidarity, seeking justice for the Mohawk Nation. By any means necessary, you gotta fight the white man, and it's what he has no intent for you on this earth. Stand up to him now, face the foe, and there will be no tomorrow. This advantage was political oxygen, was giving dead people down. However, Oka is all of us, and our freedom's not directly linked. So, what you do to one of us, you have done to us all.
So that was a song by Canadian band One Blood called Indian Summer. And I have the final part of the interview with Thomas from Strike Anywhere. And yeah, so let's listen to it. That's the final part.
On your website, you have a frequently asked questions section, and I found a really, really cool question. It says, which person would you like to have on your guest list and why? I would like to flip this question a little bit. And my question is, on which artist guest list would you like to appear and why, and which band you would like to sit down backstage and talk to?
Man, that is hard.
Maybe the band like you really like and you never had a chance to talk, or maybe the band which is not active anymore, or maybe like the band you know.
It's interesting. I kind of like to be backstage at a Public Enemy show. Or maybe Damian Marley. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, or the Nos, Damian Marley, if they did a tour for that record. Or actually, it just to stay with, like, hip-hop and reggae artists. I would love for the Black Star, Mos Def, and Talib Kweli group to go on tour and for me to be backstage with those two cats, because they would be able, it would be mind blowing. Mm-hmm. I've had the good luck and experience to actually be backstage with people, with artists like Tom Morello and the Subhumans from the UK, ones, and this band New Model Army from the UK that I love. And I'd love to have those experiences again. You know, it's there's. I guess I would hope that Fugazi would play a show, and I could be on their guest list and hang out with those guys, eat some food, some vegan food with them. Man, there's so much. Like, I got to hang out with Gorilla Biscuits as well backstage, and that was an incredible experience. And those guys are amazing. Like, so, yeah, man. I think the band from Los Angeles X. Mm-hmm, you know, like kind of like rockabilly punk band.
What's it, Chervenka?
Yeah, Exine Cervenka.
Yeah, sorry, I'm France. Yeah. But yeah, that's...
She's probably Russian or Ukrainian. Maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I think she has some roots.
So I think they're brilliant and would probably like to be backstage to see them. Yeah. And the list goes on.
Yeah. And my last question. I always like to ask this question because I'm a huge music fan and I always look on the lookout for new music. What are the recent albums and artists you were impressed, you were excited about, and you love?
Defeater on Bridge 9 are a wonderful hardcore band. I like Tidal Fight a lot too. We toured with them recently. They're a really good band, like young, but have amazing songs and a lot of potential. The Future Heads have a new record that we all like a lot. We've been listening to.
Yeah. Came out last Tuesday.
Yeah. Do you have the Dead to Me record, the African Elephants? That is amazing. That is our favorite. We always listen to that.
Yeah.
I love that band. I mean, they're our friends and we tour with them. We know them intimately. Uh-huh. But yet, that record, I mean, we're just fans. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just intense. I keep hearing the new Against Me is good. I haven't got a copy of it myself, but yeah, people keep telling me it's. And our friend George is playing drums for them now, so that's different.
From
Hot Water Music. So I'd like to hear that, just to see the combination of friends of ours and artists do their thing. I just listened to a band last night called Between Earth and Sky, and it's a project of members of Biothread and Trial. Members of Biothread may not be in the band, but it references that band. But anyway, it is an amazing... It's Greg from Trial singing, and it's like Seattle melodic hardcore music, but like kind of epic, long, incredible music, and great lyrics, and just good ideas. And that was really neat, because Greg does a charity called 100 for Haiti, and which you should 100forhaiti.org. You get a chance and see whatever you can contribute to that cause, because it's amazing. He spoke at our show last night, and he's the singer for this band, Between Earth and Sky. So, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I love all the bands on Bridge 9, actually. Like, I'm so stoked Lemuria is on the label now. Like, it's just really exciting. And, of course, we love a lot of bands on Fat Records and, you know, everything. I mean, I saw Bad Religion for the first time when we were over in Europe. Ooh. And they were, I mean, you know, they've been around for 30 years or whatever, but that first time I seen them live, they were so good.
Yeah,
I had such a great time.
Okay, thank you so much. It was my pleasure talking, and thank you so much for you. Пожалуйста.
So that was the interview with Thomas from Strike Anywhere, and that'll do for today. Robin is already here, and yeah, I would like to finish up the set of the song by Defeater. Thomas was talking about this band, and they're really good, great band on Bridge 9 Records. You can hear the full version of the interview on wealllfalldowncitr.tumblr.com. And yeah, that'll do for today. Enjoy the World Cup, and yeah, I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
Attention all cyclists. Get ready for 10 days of bike fun in Vancouver. Introducing the first annual Velopalooza Bike Festival.
Push me off to start the fun.
Starting June 4th with the big kickoff at Wise Hall, Velopalooza is 10 days of amazing themed and guided bike rides all over Metro Vancouver, culminating with the free outdoor festival in Strathcona Park on June the 13th. Bike-inspired music, demonstrations, bike polo, tall bikes, unicycles, and fun for the whole family. With rides designed for cyclists of all persuasions, most everything is free and fun for all. Meet other cyclists and enjoy Vancouver's growing cycling culture. Velopalooza, June 4th through June 13th. For more information or to create your own ride, visit velopalooza.ca.
Hey, you're listening to Ink Studs on CITR 101.9 FM. This is the radio show where I normally talk about comics. Well, it's not me talking about comics so much as is talented folks that I talk to that talk about comics. We all talk about comics. And I hope you want to talk about comics, too. I'm about to play an interview I did with Dan Nadel, publisher of Picturebox Books, one of my favorite alt comics publishers. They're doing some fantastic work and have this incredible book coming out that blew my mind. Dan was mentioning it kind of off the cuff, nonchalantly. He has a book come out by Julie Doucette and Michel Gondry, which prompted me to have a momentary hold up and what the hell are you talking about thing. Sounds fascinating. We also have an extended talk about comics and influence, apropos to his book Art in Time, follow-up to Art Out of Time. Both books, fantastic. Art in Time, most recent kind of look at a selection of different comic artists that have a really unique, idiosyncratic view in comics. Great work, and highly recommend checking it out. And then I didn't get my hands on this week's Japanese Music West show, so what we're going to be hearing at 3 o'clock is an interview I did with Michael DeForge, who is a very talented boy out of Toronto. I say boy because he's young, and he's very early 20s, and his book, Loose Ones and Twos from the wonderful Kiyoyama Press of Toronto, have been getting a lot of really well-deserved acclaim. And he also just won a Doug Wright Award at the Toronto Comic Art Festival. And so this interview was conducted a couple days before he won the award, in his room, where we looked at Silkscreen books that he'd done and all sorts of other fantastic stuff. This kid is mad skilled, as they say in the hippity-hop world. Mad skills. So here we go. Talk to y'all later. Ink Stud, CITR 101.9 FM.
Moments, glorious lightning. Yes, I had to ride you and trash the crystal debts they kept in storage. Inside you, I was told never to question it. Now I'm facing 20 years, but every night I try to ingest the snow so lightly. Simply couldn't put down the-